Random art tips and rambles with Rafi.
Hola, you amazing artists. It's Rafi.
And Clee.
And we are back. We're back from the weekend of the dark. That doesn't sound right.
We're back and we missed you guys.
Yeah, we totally missed you guys. I know that I got a lot of messages from you guys saying like, oh, we miss you. Where have you gone? And I have been working on the book and I am now officially done with the rough draft of the book and already started typing it out and getting the second draft done. And it is looking quite awesome.
I have to say, the book is supremely excellent.
So any of you that don't know that you're listening to this for the first time, I am writing a book called The Rogue Artist Survival Guide. It's got basically all my experience through starting an art career and demystifying the whole concept of the art world. And it's actually one of the things that I want to talk about today was art galleries.
Art galleries.
Yeah, and how art galleries work. Because in the movies, you see these concepts of art galleries, and you think to yourself, like, yeah, you know, every art gallery is the same. It's a business that sells art, and they get a commission and all that stuff. And really what it came down to when I started was realizing that there are different types of galleries. And not only are there different types of galleries, but there are different spectrums within the types of galleries that there are out there. And to the point that there are some predatory galleries that you want to stay away from. And me being a novice getting into the art world, I was like, what is going on here? I thought that there was just that one gallery.
Yeah, like you approach the gallery, you get your pieces in, and then you sell a million pieces. The end.
Yeah, well, for me, it was more along the lines of, like, you approach a gallery, you get rejected. And then the end. You know, that's what I thought. Like, you approach a gallery, and you get rejected, and it sucks because it means that your artwork sucks and all that stuff. And then lo and behold, like, oh, shit, that's not true. That's not true at all. It has nothing to do with your artwork sucking. Because if you don't understand the different gallery systems, you don't understand what it takes to get your artwork in a gallery to begin with.
And it is definitely helpful to know what type of gallery you're about to approach.
Exactly. I've had some of our followers contact me and tell me, you know, there's this gallery that's interested in me and they only require me to pay this much up front and blah, blah, blah. And immediately I'm like, oh, no, that's a vanity gallery. No, you want to stay away from that. And I realized that there's not enough information out there to really educate artists or even buyers about the different types of galleries that they're approaching and which galleries are in their area and determining which one is which.
Yeah, and the sad truth is that predatory galleries definitely do not label themselves as such.
No, exactly. No, they don't have a sign outside that says, like, we're a vanity gallery. Make sure that you don't approach us. No, they're more like, you want to be an artist? I'm going to fulfill your dreams. It's only going to cost you $3,000, and then you get represented by a real gallery.
And some of you are like, ooh, if you're like me, like the poetry books back in the day.
Oh, God.
That where was they're just, like, yeah, we saw your poem, and it's great, and we're going to publish your poem in a book, and all you have to do is order the book for $150.
There are so many predatory things when it comes to artists and writers and musicians, anything in those creative fields. Like, you have people that are just preying on their dreams of making it big. So you've got these poetry books, you've got these art magazines that contact you and they're like, we're really interested in your art. It's only going to cost you $1,000, and then you get in our art book that gets shown to all these collectors everywhere. They make it seem like it's this big, awesome opportunity for you. But you have to fork out $1,000 to basically show your artwork in this magazine.
Yeah, and in a lot of cases, they make you feel bad and like you're the cheap one if you're not willing to invest in your future.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. I had the same issue with a vanity gallery that contacted me online. And the fact is that a lot of people think, like, all these vanity galleries, they're just in, like, these places that nobody wants to show their stuff, but they're not. They're in London, They're in New York in the Chelsea area. They're in Chicago. Like, you have vanity galleries that set up in very high-end art meccas because they want to trick the artist into thinking like, hey, you get to show in Chelsea.
Yeah, and of course they do. They're trying to capitalize. They're not lurking in dark alleys.
No, they're not. They're not lurking in dark alleys. They're lurking on bright beaches being like, this is the greatest opportunity that you're ever going to run into. And like, artists jump on it and they end up paying all this money to get represented by an art gallery that isn't even taken seriously by the art world that they claim to be taken seriously by.
Right. They're basically collecting your check and they're like, thank you for you.
Yeah, thank you for you. Thank you for lining our pockets with your hard-earned money. Listen, it is hard enough to be an artist in of itself and even decide to approach galleries versus like seeing this opportunity line up and then having to fork out a bunch of money to go and do these shows. So in the book, I cover how I got started and how exactly I got going to where I am now, like where it was that I started, you know, and anybody that's been listening to me for a while knows that I got started at the flea market, at the Gulf Breeze flea market. And then eventually moved to markets and did gallery nights and did festivals and did shows and did different things like that and got into a gallery. But I think the most important thing about that section of the book is that I decided that I was going to create my own career, that I wasn't going to go by the status quo of getting into a gallery. And I think that that was beneficial for me because instead of approaching a gallery in the way that you approach the gallery when you're kind of desperate, honestly, you know, like nobody knows who you are. And here's this gallery and they're showing you some attention. And you're like, oh, thank God, finally. And then you get into the gallery and you realize that like you're not going to sell a whole bunch of paintings out of the gallery.
Where are the riches that are supposed to be showering down upon you?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you have a lot of galleries that are really, really good galleries and they may sell like 40 high-end pieces every year, but they have like 20 artists. So how much art is really selling out of that gallery? Like being in a gallery is not a make it or break it moment. Unless you're in one of the mega galleries that really I would suggest not really getting into unless you have the power to be able to negotiate your own deals with them, because you will get screwed as an artist being in a mega gallery. But that's a different story. Today, we're going to talk about the different galleries and what to look for in those galleries. So the first one is the commercial gallery. The commercial gallery is the gallery that everybody knows, the one that is in all the movies, that basically is owned by someone, and they represent the artists that are in their gallery. That is what a commercial gallery is. They make their money off of a percentage of the art, and essentially, in a good commercial gallery, you become a partner with the gallery owner.
Yeah, they benefit when you benefit and vice versa.
Exactly. And of course, not all galleries are created equal. There's plenty of galleries that try to screw their artists and try to make a buck and all that stuff because, you know, they're competing with a lot of mega galleries and a lot of small galleries. It's a hard business to run. But yeah, you want to make sure that you have a good relationship with the gallery owner and that you have a clear understanding of who it is that you are and what it is that you want to get out of your partnership. And that's why I suggest create your own art career. That way you get to a point where you don't need the gallery, so you have much more negotiating power. So that's the commercial gallery.
Yeah, which also could be called the traditional gallery. Yeah. So basically they curate a collection of works from artists that they either personally like or know that their collectors will like. And yeah, they take a commission when they sell a piece.
Yeah, basically, if you're getting into a commercial gallery, there are three required things that they look at. A, can they market your art to their collectors? B, do you have a reputation that's going to help enhance their gallery reputation? And then three, will the artist bring in new business to that gallery? Like, are they meeting that criteria? And then basically, you know, do I like the artwork? Do I like the artwork from this artist? Do I get along with this artist? Do I want to do business with this artist? Those are all parts of that criteria of getting in. If you do abstract art and you approach a gallery that majors in figurative paintings, your artwork's not going to get in. But it's not going to get in because it's bad artwork. It's just not going to get in because it doesn't meet those criteria.
Yeah. I also like to say, there you have it, A, B, and 3.
Yeah, A, B, and 3. And then the next gallery is Co-op Gallery. And that's the kind of gallery that you're in, right?
Indeed. Yeah. That's the kind of gallery. So my first gallery was a traditional gallery, and this gallery I've just joined is a co-op. And there's a learning curve to being part of a co-op, for sure. Definitely requires more from its members because it's basically powered and funded by its members. And I'll let Rafi elaborate on that because he's been a member of a co-op as well.
I was. Several years ago, I was a member of the other co-op that is in town. And after being there for about a year, I believe that I left with, a little bit of a middle finger to the people that were running it. Not necessarily the artists that were there, because I think that the artists at that particular co-op were amazing and I love them. But there was issues there. This is what a co-op is. A co-op is a gallery that gets started. Like, basically what happens is a bunch of artists get together and they're like, hey, we need a location to open up some, to show our art. So let's get this location. They get together. They get a big grouping of these artists together and they share the responsibilities of the finances of, let's say, the building, the rental, or buying it, or whatever it is.
And upkeep and all that jazz.
Yeah, and upkeep and all that stuff. Now they have this location where they get to showcase their artwork there. And every artist that is part of the co-op becomes kind of like a partner within that business and showing their art.
Yeah, and they're sharing the burden of the finances, the advertising, the maintenance. So in theory, it's equally divided and everyone benefits.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, the benefit from that is that you get a group of creative people together and then they get to get into ideas for marketing their business, for marketing their art, for getting their art out in front of people. It's an amazing thing. I think the problem happens later on when a co-op has been in business for several years and they start accepting new members, where it goes from accepting new members to almost like having employees. Because essentially with a co-op, not only are you sharing the responsibility of the finances, but people need to work it. So once it's been running for a while, you have like this required hourly every month that you have to work. In my mind, that's where things start to fall apart, where the cost doesn't work out for me. Because of where I'm at in my art career, my hourly rate is up there pretty high. So when I add up how many hours I was working at the co-op, plus the membership fees, plus the monthly dues and all that stuff, the amount just wasn't breaking even with the amount of art that I was selling, which is one of the reasons that I ended up leaving the co-op.
Yeah, it can be very beneficial, especially if you're looking for an artist community to be a part of. But if you're looking for like a storefront to show your work, you have to consider the fact that a co-op generally requires your time, annual dues, monthly dues, and extracurricular activities, as I like to call them.
Yeah, you get to volunteer for the extra events that they're doing. Now, that being said, I mean, being part of a co-op could be extremely beneficial, and being part of a co-op could be kind of a pain in the butt, and it all depends on where you're at in your career. Obviously, getting together with a bunch of other artists and being able to hang out with that community, because for artists, I mean, you and I, we work in a studio together, so we get to hang out all day. Mm-hmm. But for a lot of artists, this is a very solitary affair.
Yeah, it can be very lonely to be an artist.
Yeah, so the idea of being able to go out to the co-op and work maybe 4 hours a week, that gives them the opportunity to be out and around other people and around other artists. So it is something that I do recommend, but it is something that I would keep an eye on the finances of it, how much it's costing you versus how much you're making out of it.
And the time commitment. I would say so far, I have made a couple of really great friends, and time will tell if the time commitment and financial investment will pay off for me.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I would definitely not shy away from a co-op, but I would just ask all the questions and make sure that you go in on your own terms. You know, again, one of the reasons that I think you should create your own career, and that way you have a little bit more leverage when you are approaching a gallery, no matter what kind of gallery it is. The other gallery would be the rental space galleries. And these are like different businesses or galleries around town that rent out wall space, or maybe they even rent out their entire location. A lot of galleries will do that under off season. They'll have an on season and an off season, so they'll rent out the gallery to artists during the off season. The only catch about that is that you are basically putting together a pop-up show. A pop-up show is an amazing thing to do because you get to showcase your work for maybe a month or a week, whatever it is that you decide that that pop-up is going to run for. But the other side of that, if any of you guys have watched my video on doing your own pop-up, you are basically taking care of everything. You are taking care of everything. You are doing the PR. You are doing the marketing. You are looking into insurance. You are also doing all the hanging and setting everything up. And you are making sure that if you're going to have food at the event, that's going to be there. And you're also hiring people or hiring your friends for free to come and work the event.
No doubt about it. It is a lot of work. We have experienced firsthand being part of a large-scale pop-up style gallery.
Yep.
And it was a lot of fun, but it takes a team.
It does take a team, and it takes a lot of organization. And honestly, for a lot of those spaces, it takes a lot of artwork.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing that I do suggest, I mean, I didn't do this because I had over 100 pieces of work at that show. And that show was like designed to be this phenomenal, like, Rafi extravaganza type thing. But the one thing I would suggest to anybody that's thinking about putting together a pop-up or even doing like a thing with a rental gallery where you get to rent the entire gallery, is get some other artists together and go in on the pop-up together and just kind of do the same thing that a starting co-op does, which is you share the expenses and that way you share the benefits.
You also will draw, you'll also draw collectors from each of you, so you have the chance for a better turnout that way, and the patrons will get to see multiple artists.
Yeah, exactly. And if you are going to do something like that, I suggest that, like, you know, make it a really awesome big event. Like I said, I've got the video on there about how to do the pop-up. And that pretty much walks you through what I did when I did my show, which is, you know, just give them, you know, when Banksy does those pop-ups, which he's done, in one of them, he had an elephant that was painted, a live elephant in the middle of the room, and the show was called The Elephant in the Room. So, like, those are the kind of things that I think of whenever I'm thinking of putting an art show together, is giving somebody that goes to the show something extra than just a bunch of art on the wall.
Give them something they've never seen before.
Exactly. Give them an experience that they could talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, the other galleries that we've done in town are the nonprofit galleries. So like Artel and the other ones, they do these contests every month.
A monthly themed juried show.
Yeah. So that those are the other kind of galleries that you could get into.
Those are minimal cost. It's usually like a $35 kind of jury fee. Your work either gets accepted or rejected. It hangs for a month. You get to go to a reception. It's a lot of good fun.
Yep.
But there's no long-term art showing.
Exactly. There's no long-term art showing. The cool thing about all of these galleries, especially the non-for-profit monthly gallery shows and stuff like that, is that when you are first starting out, you want to be able to build up your resume. So every single showing that you do of your art is an opportunity to add something else to your resume. Now, personally, I have never gotten any kind of advantages from my resume, but it's really nice every time that I get to add something to my resume. And a lot of these shows, you get to win first place, second place, and those are all
honorable mentions.
Yeah, honorable mentions. Those are all things that you could add to your resume.
I would argue that you have benefited and that you've gained confidence from each experience.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Yeah, it's really cool for me to look back at my resume and be like, man, Ralphie, you badass. You know, like that kind of thing. So, yeah, I definitely enjoy that.
Are there any other types of art galleries that we're covering, or is that the...
I think that that is the basic. Obviously, in the book, I go into a lot more detail with each gallery and the differences between each gallery within that gallery system.
What to look out for, how to approach.
So all of that will be in the book.
I highly recommend you try some or all of them, maybe not the Vanity Gallery.
No, I would stay away from the Vanity Galleries. I mean, just go to the Vanity Galleries and ask a lot of questions. Obviously, they're not going to advertise that they're Vanity Galleries, but some of them are very predatory. And those are the ones that I would stay away from.
The some ones of the, that are asking you for upfront money, like a lot of it.
Yeah. And even some of the rental galleries I would be careful with, because some of the rental galleries, you know, typically if you're renting a wall in a gallery, depending on the size of the wall and the location of the gallery, they may be charging anywhere between $100 to $200. And that's something that you have to gauge yourself depending on what the foot traffic is in that location.
And what you're comfortable with.
Exactly. Some of them are like trying to charge $1,000 and they might as well be a vanity gallery who's just trying to make a whole bunch of money off the backs of artists because they know that the artists are insecure and they're not sure where to show their art. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, that's one of the things that I would keep an eye out. Anybody that is charging you too much money, just be a little bit skeptical about some of the opportunities that they're saying are, going, that they're offering you, especially if it sounds like they're trying to sell you on something.
Yeah. I was just going to say a good rule of thumb is if they're trying really hard to pitch you on something, chances are it's a predatory gallery because traditional galleries and co-op galleries, they don't need to give you the sales pitch.
No, they don't need to give you the sales pitch. And the fact is that there are a lot of artists that are trying to get into galleries. So if there is a gallery that is desperately giving you a sales pitch, I would just
walk away.
Red flag. And honestly, in dealing with any gallery, because it all depends on who's running it, what their intentions are. If you get a gut feeling that tells you to walk away, I suggest you walk away. If you get a gut feeling that tells you, you know what, this is really cool, then I suggest you do it. But don't ever allow your feelings of insecurity and your big dreams of wanting to be an artist on this block or whatever it is to be what makes your decisions. Just follow your own gut when it comes to dealing with any gallery or any festival or any other artist or anybody in the art world or anybody even outside of the art world. Just follow your gut.
Yeah, I like to ask myself, if I'm having a bad feeling, is it that I'm scared because it's new? Or am I getting a, like, do not do this kind of bad feeling?
Yeah.
You can tell the difference.
Yeah, and the more that you kind of listen to those things, the more that they become more obvious to you. Like, you'll know when it's just you being a big chicken shit and you're not doing it because you're scared. And when it's your gut telling you, like, nope, stay away from it. Don't do it.
Yeah, like I had definite red flags with joining the co-op gallery, and my first gallery was a traditional gallery. So I was like, what do you mean you want all these things from me? But the truth of the matter was I was actually just scared.
Yeah.
And so far it's been great.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been a good experience for you. It's a good learning experience.
Totally.
It's definitely something that I think that everybody should experience at one point in their art career. You can't talk about anything in the art world or even in your life unless you've actually tried and experienced it. It's the same thing as like those people that are like, oh, I don't like that kind of food. And I'm like, have you ever tried it? And they're like, no. I'm like, well, then you don't have any right to talk about it.
Yeah. And my vicarious experience with your co-op gallery didn't really qualify me either. I've joined a different co-op gallery and it's going to be a different experience.
No. Yeah. Because there was a completely different experience there. And that's something that I also cover in the book where I talk about my experience at the co-op gallery.
That's a real yarn of a story.
And yeah, that's it. So I guess at the end of the day, just, you know, go out there and try new things. But remember, most importantly, get to a point in your art career where you don't need a gallery. That is the best time to approach a gallery is when you absolutely and completely don't need a gallery, because that way you have way more confidence and way more negotiating power when you do enter into a contract with a gallery.
I can definitely attest to that. Had I joined this co-op gallery a couple of years ago, I would have been putting myself in a lot of uncomfortable positions because I would have felt desperate.
Yeah.
Now I'm like, whatever.
Yep.
So I'm holding the cards in a sense.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And that's where you want to be in any place. Don't allow yourself to get discouraged by the fact that there are gatekeepers out there, and understand that you can totally circumvent the gatekeepers and create your own art career. And then eventually those gatekeepers are going to be coming to you because you've established yourself.
And in the book, you talk about various ways to circumvent the galleries altogether and to host your own types of events that can be wildly successful.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. A bunch of harebrained ideas that I had come up with that were awesome and successful and fun.
Some of them have been super awesome and some of them sucked royally.
Yeah, some of them were not great ideas. Yeah, but,
but
I listed
them
all. Yeah. So that's it. That's it for the galleries, you guys. And we are so excited to be back. Obviously, with this, you cannot see our faces.
But we're smiling really big.
We are smiling really big. And it is Clea and I. It's not like, you know, doppelgangers that came in. But tomorrow, we will be back.
You'll see
YouTube.
Our faces.
Yeah, you'll see our faces. My face and then Clea's blurry face.
Yes.
And we'll go from there. Yeah. So awesome. And thank you so much for listening, you guys. You guys are absolutely amazing. And I totally adore you. And it is so good to be back. And that's it. Say goodbye, Clea.
Good day, everyone.
Adios.